greet you all in Jesus' name, and thankful to be here, and looking into the Word of God again. But we think of the special occasion, time of we call council meeting and gathering together to examine ourselves before perhaps give an account of what we found there. But I appreciated the psalm there, 100, that we read there. We stood together and read, and then we saw the joy that we can have in the church and that we should have. And we're thankful for the fact that as we know the Lord Jesus Christ and he's living in our heart, there does give an experience of joy. But then sometimes there is those times of examination where it isn't just a feel-good thing, but it may be some conviction or some area that we feel we haven't entirely lived up to it. And those moments are good too, and maybe better. I let God be the judge of that. But the times when we need to examine ourselves and are honest with ourselves and look into our hearts is the times that are going to move us onward in our Christian life, as well as the joyous times. And so we're thankful that that we can be here this evening, and even though it may cause us to squirm a little, but that we would experience the blessing of being able to look into the Word of God and share with one another and look into our brethren and sisters' faces and realize that we all have the same goal and purpose in mind. And so what we were thinking about this evening for a message was pursuing God's calling in fellowship, that we need to be pursuing the call that God has for us in our fellowship one with another. That's the church, why we have fellowship together, and we can help each other. We can help each other to move on in our Christian life, and help to correct the areas about our life that we may fail to see when the brethren and get together and we teach one another. We have Sunday school and various aspects of church life, and we rejoice in the fact that we can be a blessing and a help to each other. And we can sense within ourselves the need of that, the need of our brethren and sisters, that that we need their help and direction as well in order to help us to move onward in our Christian life. So thinking of pursuing God's calling to fellowship, when we think of pursuing something, it means we're reaching forward. It means we're going after it. And it also intimates that it's God's call for us to fellowship together, to press onward in our Christian life, to continue our church life, continue our help to each other. And then also it brings the thought of worship, the need we have of worshiping together. We worship God, and the goal and purpose is to draw us all closer into our relationship with God through admonishing, from help, giving help to each other. And so we think of that worship together. I'd like to look into Hebrews 10, looking at verse 21 to 28. He says here, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And we have we can have boldness. We can come before the Lord Jesus Christ and come before God and give witness or testimony to our relationship with him because of the blood of Jesus, because his blood was shed, and we came to believe in what the Lord has done for us and paid the price for our sin. And so we come by a new and living way, not the Old Testament route of the blood of animals, sacrifice for sin, but rather for a new and living way that he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Jesus died there on the cross. He bled and died and gave his life for us, and that he his flesh, that we could enter into the relationship with God that we can have in this new and living way. And he says, and having an high priest over the house of God, meaning our Lord Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And so he calls on us to draw near, to draw near to him in our spiritual life, to draw near to God. We realize in this world we live in, there's many things that would come into our way that would distract us and try to turn us away from that relationship in him. But we're called on to worship together. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We need to hold fast to the profession we made. And that's why we need to pursue after our fellowship one with another. And for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, and that we need to consider each other. We need to see our need of each other to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching, that not forsaking this coming together, this being called together as we come together and worship in church life. And that needs to be considered important in our life, that we exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And so we see that our call is the calling of God is continue to fellowship, continue to come together. And as we see that God has called us to interact with others in a positive way, that it's a positive way, something that would build us all up in the faith and cause us to go forward in our Christian life as we share with each other, that we continue to go forward in our Christian life. Looking then at John 15, where there's the vine and the branches, which he's speaks of here. I'm the true vine, you're the branches. True vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit, and that you're clean to the word which I spoke unto you. And he calls on us to abide in me, and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can he, except he abide in me. The necessity that we continue to abide in him. And so So God has called them to interact with each other, to help each other to do that, to go forward in our Christian life. In John 15:14, then he says, "Ye are my friends." Maybe I should back up there. "This is my commandment," in verse 12, "that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." That henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. The fact is where he says, this is in verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And so we're called on to obedience to God. And we need each other. We need our brothers and sisters to help us do that. If we obey, we are through Jesus Christ, then we are his friend. The necessity that we do what he says. We had our devotional here, that we not only be hearers, but doers of the word. That we obey and do what God has called us to do. And so the need is that we continue needing our brethren and continuing to help each other. To be God's friend means we worship him. It means we love him, we worship him, and we love him. And he wants to lavish his love on us. And so we are thankful that we need to be in helping each other, but he wants us to love the rest of the family. God's family is eternal. In heaven, you're going to love God. Also, you're going to love other believers. So God wants you to learn to love believers. If you can't now, can you in heaven? And so it calls on us to be a blessing. Have love one for another and be a blessing to each other so that we can all make it through to glory. That we all have the same goal in mind. And so, as we looking then at verse 16 in John 15, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." That we are called to bring fruit. And the fruit that the Lord gives will never die, but it's going to reap for you rewards in heaven. And so then also we looking in Acts 2:37, where account there, the early church, and how they gathered together to worship there, where in Acts 2, verse 37 to 47, where he says that, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It was hereafter Peter preached his message at Pentecost that message was brought, that pursuing a body of believers here was pursuing after, and they began by saying, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We see here that they were a body of believers was pursuing after the calling that God gave, the call to fellowship. They had come to know the Lord Jesus, and then they were continuing to follow him. One of the first things that we need to learn is the fear and worship of God is the goal and purpose that we need to keep as Christians, to fear and worship the Lord. When they heard the message from Peter in 37, it says they were pricked in their heart because they saw needs that they needed to do. They saw they needed to progress in, from the point of being saved in their Christian life, and they needed to move on. And they said to Peter, "What shall we do?" And that's in that way we need to be able to learn one from another, that we need to learn how to follow each other. And the one that, and so the point number one is that we fear and worship God. And as we think of this and think of fellowship, we must first of all know the fear of who God is before we will flee to Jesus to be reconciled. If we don't see our need of a Savior, we are not going to do anything about it. But we come to the place where we see our need of a Savior, and so we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we will turn to him. And so we need to know the fear and worship of God and worship of him. 1 Timothy 3:15, he says that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, that the need for understanding, the need of fellowship, and as a church and body of believers, that we need to continue on. Then in verse 41, he says that they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day were added souls unto them, were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so we see that one of the things, one of the first levels of fellowship is to choose to belong. And so that's important in our life. There's sometimes people get issues happen, things happen, people move, and other things move, and churches change, and people find themselves without a fellowship. And Satan may like to keep you in that position longer than you're good to be. But the fact is, you need to choose to belong. You need to choose to find a church family, and choose to connect to a church family on a local level. And but he says, "But I'm a Christian, but I don't want to belong." Some would say, maybe they will not say that. But if we the devil would like to keep us all alone for a while, keep us independent, whereas we do need the help and fellowship of brethren and sisters. We need others to help us to continue on. And so they don't want to belong, or maybe we would just think it. Would someone say, "I'm a cook, but I don't want to be in the kitchen," or "I'm a pitcher, but I'm not on any team"? And pointing out, my thought is the importance of, although we may face experiences in life that we don't know right which way to go, and maybe things have been discouraging, and church life hasn't been what we wanted it to be. But we need to make a choice. In the church is where you live out what it means to be a Christian. That's where you're going to bump elbows with people that are close to you and people that love you enough to help you and to point out things and try to help you in your Christian life, and willing to help others as well and help and allow you to help them. But Matthew 18, 20 and 19, it says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And so we thinking there of the choice to fear and worship of God and making the choice to belong, to find yourself a fellowship that is going to be a benefit to you. And perhaps they may not be perfect or what your past or tradition or background has been, but if this is what the Lord seems to have presented you with, why you need to make a choice and decision to follow him. And also then number two is fellowship is a partnership. The same goals. A partnership is two people working together with the same goal in mind, and that's what it is in your fellowship in church life, fellowshipping together, that it brings us in contact with somebody where we can draw and bring our goals together to move on in our church life. In verse 42 here in Acts, he says, "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer." And so they continued steadfastly together because the goal was to continue to worship our Lord and continue to follow him, and sensing our need of others to help us to do that, and how that together we can follow the Lord together and be a help to each other, considering ourselves partners with other fellow believers. In other words, we need to be a family to be functional, needs to learn to have a common goal, to have a common function by trying to find what my part is, that we each have various parts and different parts in the church, and we need to find what that part is that we need to continue on in being at that part in church life, that we can be a blessing and benefit to others. It's God's job to fit the body together. We have that in Ephesians 4:16. It's compacted by that which every joint supplieth, that there is various gifts and blessing in the church. And God has given you the gift, the shape that God wants you to have in church life, by your gifts and your abilities that may be unique to you, and God wants you to make use of them. And so we need to function by trying to find what my part is. It's God's job to fit the body together and our part to work together. Sometimes in the working together or working out the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of all, we fail to work it out in together. We fail to have the love, the consideration for each other that we should be having. And the problem is to be selfish. We tend to think of ourselves. Maybe we think we're superior to someone else, or maybe people may even have the problem of inferiority at times. But self cannot be the ruling factor which we follow. Our culture says everyone is free to do his own thing. Self says we want our liberty. I want to do what I want to do. Satan says I know better than anybody else, or better than he does. The world would say we have a lot more enjoyable things for you. And the flesh says that it will come to nothing anyhow. Enjoy now, but we can't follow them voices as in that way. So we need to continue steadfastly, and as apostles and doctrinally sound is important. Fellowship is important. So our journey is going to depend on our prayers, sharing the word and effort in fellowship. Whether we are successful, the Lord will confirm our labors by adding others to it. And so while we don't look for to be part of the church, but rather to introduce them to Jesus Christ, and then the Lord is going to supply to the church. Lord, add it to the church daily, such as should be saved. Then, so whether we plant or water or build, we work in a common cause in God. Then three, we want to look at sharing friendship for fellowship. And Acts 2, 44 and 45, he says, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. They worked together. They had friendship with their fellowship, and they agreed together. And not this selfish attitude of this, what is mine, or what another has more than I do, but because the enemy is self. And so one thing is not to be possessive, and another thing is not to be greedy. And a third part is sharing. We should share the word. We need to share the word with one another as something that we should experience, the blessing it is to share the word of God with people, have conversation in the word of God, that we continue to share in griefs, and when others may experience griefs, to weep with them. We may share our problems together, share our problems and ask help one from each other is one of the blessings that we have in church life, that share material things, that we have brotherhood assistance, and we need to have our focus on what we can be a help to others. And sometimes we do need to approach it in a way that is organizational, but we do need to be that the goal is that to share with others what we may have, share our faults together. And so life is not a solo act, that God said in the beginning, in Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. And God provided a wife or a woman to be a blessing to him. And also and the blessing that is there. And so we can be a blessing as well in our church life. And then we think of another part of, finally, we be as family. Or as friendship or fellowship, and as family, that we're all one part of another. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. And so there's a special provision we should have for our brethren and sisters. We shall help all men. And And not, it's not just a matter that only if they're a church member you can help them, although the Brotherhood Assistance is set up for the promotion of the household of faith. But we may have neighbors that we can do them good. We may have people in our family that we can do them good. And so that we need to continue to follow the Lord. Romans 12, 9 to 16. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Sometimes, but to abhor, hate it, and cleave to that which is good, that be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, the kind of affection that we should have, preferring one another, another thinking better of him, and not to have self-esteem, but to have esteem for others better than ourselves. And so it's the kind of things that going to be good in church life, then we need to be fervent in spirit and serving the Lord and allowing the Spirit of God to work in us and direct us, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. And so all these things are things that our heart needs to exercise for our brethren and sisters to be bring a closeness together and a love for each other. If you have a family who does not plan, doesn't get along and hold grudges, we've seen families like that already where they couldn't get along in the family and they held grudges against each other and they made life miserable for themselves and for each other. And so it is that we ought to be a blessing as a family together to find a blessing for each other. And one of the things is, why does God want us to love? One thing is, it makes us more like God. And we saw that in John 15, that we become like God. If we love like God, love God, why we are to love our brothers and sisters too. And another reason is we're tested by learning how to get along. The fact that the test is on us to learn. It's in learning how to get along is when we experience the blessing of growth in our Christian life. When we don't function together, we aren't going to grow together. And so we are intended to function together. That, and so we think that God would not put up with fighting. In closing, 1 John 1, 3, there's maybe a couple verses in John here. He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. You also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. This then is the message that we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness at all. That verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so the need to fellowship with God, and then also the need to fellowship together as brethren and sisters.